The parable of the prodigal son is one of the most popular parables that Jesus taught. It is imbued with tragedy and triumph. We all know the basics. There were two sons. The younger of the two demanded his inheritance before time and left home only to waste it in a prodigious manner, hence the word prodigal. Being destitute and starving, he ended up working on a pig farm. Well, not only are Jews forbidden to associate with pigs, but the poor chap would have eaten their food had anyone given him some. In simple terms, he had hit rock bottom, a deplorable state of being. Only then did he come to his senses and realize, by an actual grace, that he would be better off back home as a servant. Surely his father would grant him that request if he confessed his sins. While on the way, the father, who is seeking the son, spots him first and runs to him and receives him back into the home with a grand celebration. He is clothed with the best robe, sandals on his feet and a ring on his finger. Meanwhile, the older son has remained on the property, comes home and notes the festivities, but refuses to come once he knows the rationale. The father also comes to him and tries to convince him, but he feels betrayed at the injustice. We are not told that this son is reconciled with the father. That is a simple rendition of a divine story with a moral message. Of course, the father stands for God, who seeks out the sinner to bring him home. God is more willing to forgive us than we are willing to forgive ourselves. He comes in search of us. Once forgiveness is granted, the gifts are given. Sandals for a son and not a slave to sin. A ring for his reinstated inheritance in heaven. Garment, for he is now wrapped in divine grace. When hearing this parable, people are thrilled that the rebellious son in the end comes home, but feel that perhaps the older son was harshly treated. A sense of justice seems violated. Remember that all parables come from God, and thus they are filled with divine wisdom. As such, they contain diverse layers or levels, like an endless onion you can keep peeling off another dimension. One can always learn something new from God's divine stories. Let me now focus you on another tangent. The parable stands for all of us, all humanity, because these two sons represent all sinners, and we're all sinners together. Now, sin can be public or private, external or internal, known or hidden. In fact, several of the commandments forbid what is hidden in the heart, internal sins. Not physical or material sins, but sins hidden, buried within the very fiber of our being. And I ask you, what is more toxic to the soul, the external or the internal? Are not the vices of greed, lust and pride hidden in the heart? Some sins are both, of course, but some sins remain coveted within our very being that God alone sees. The rebellious son manifests publicly his sin. He is likened to the criminal in jail. You know, we all know the crime and why he's there. While the older son also sins, but in a hidden and covert manner. Ostensibly or publicly, he stands in good stead, having done nothing wrong. Yet his heart is distant from God, God's will, and God's family. His sins lie within and have corrupted him over time. For that reason, he was not at home when his brother returns. Where was he? We're told he was away, but we're not told that he was doing the father's will or at work or being diligent. He has, over time, like his brother, separated himself from the Father in his heart and lifestyle. He is alienated from God for these following reasons. 1. He wasn't at home when his brother returned. He wasn't in the Father's domain, nor seeking the Father's will. 2. He refuses to talk to the Father, but seeks out a servant for information. 3. Being angry, he refuses to enter into God's domain when invited. 4. He refuses to acknowledge the family bond, for he doesn't say father once and refers to his brother as your son twice. 5. Resentment leads to self-pity and is inflamed into anger, which is a capital sin. 6. Rage leads to lies. I never disobeyed you once. The word never is a very strong word. Of course he disobeyed. We all disobey someone at different times. No one can ever say the word they've never sinned. 7. Exaggerated deceit. You never gave me anything to celebrate with. Rather, he gave him daily sustenance and provided for his needs. 8. False accusation to justify himself. For he falsely claims that his brother, or that son of yours, squandered his money on prostitutes. Up till now, there is no mention of carnal immorality. We are told earlier that the younger son did squander his money, but we are never told how. He may have gambled the amount or lived too lavishly, but no mention is made in the story of impropriety until now. So one may ask the question, has the older brother some inside knowledge of his younger brother's activities? Or perhaps he is doing what many do when embittered by their sin. They transfer it unto others. It is always the thief who accuses others of stealing, the liar who accuses others of lies. Maybe he has been immoral himself or manifested immoral desires, which now he flings in accusation. In the words of Shakespeare's Hamlet, methinks he doth protest too much. As the story ends, the Father or God remains utterly fair and transparent in his merciful dealings. Once again reminds this son of his place in the home, the abode. But the older brother, filled with bitterness and resentment, refused to be touched by his mercy and is not forgiven or reconciled. And here we are reminded of the unforgivable sin. The unforgivable sin is a sin we do not ask for forgiveness. How can God forgive that which we do not seek to be forgiven? So for him, it ends in tragedy, not triumph. For us, let us seek forgiveness in confession and take a friend with you in this season of Lent, so as to rejoice in triumph with the Lord this Easter.